Good morning to each of you, and it's what a blessing to be together here with all of you today. I just think that we have so many blessings that we enjoy. As I was thinking about Greece and some of those other countries this morning, as we were talking about them, where there are refugees in Haiti, where there are many poor people. We are so blessed. We don't know what we have. Well, I would like to share a message with you this morning on trust. Just one word, trust. I remember some years back when I was 16 years of age, my parents and my younger brother Ross and I traveled to South America. And at that time, commercial flights were very expensive. And so there were, because there were a number of plain folks that had colonized in some areas in Paraguay, friends, kin, relatives, and so on, people would travel back and forth. But commercial flights were very expensive. And so someone learned about a small plane that could be chartered. It was a old World War II plane, McDonnell Douglas DC-3. Some of you know what that is. Old tail dragger, they called them, a twin-engine prop. And someone had chartered that, and they were flying that plane back and forth quite a bit. And we went on that plane, my parents and my brother Ross and I, with some other folks. There were 21 of us, including the two pilots. That was a thrill of my life. It was the first time I ever flew on an airplane. And I think it was the first time Ross did, too. But I never forgot that. I had a lot of fond memories about that. We got there to the airfield in Delaware, where we took off and headed for Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And we got on that plane, and as boys, we were excited. I mean, we couldn't wait to get this thing off the ground. We had no hint in our mind that there would be any reason we should distrust either the plane itself or the people piloting the plane. We just didn't enter our heads. We were just eager to get this thing going. We had a very good time. God was good to us. We actually did have a little bit of engine trouble somewhere along the way, but they got it fixed. But my point is, we trusted that airplane. We looked at that thing, and we just thought, this thing is going to be fun. And away we went. We trusted in it. Trusted our pilots, too. Trust. On August 1st in 2007, there was an 8-lane interstate bridge, Interstate 35. Some of you might remember that. In Minneapolis, Minnesota, that whole bridge went down. Boom. And it was in rush hour traffic. 13 people were killed, 145 were injured. Now, I'm sure many of those people had crossed that bridge day after day, week after week, month after month, never gave it a thought about crossing that bridge, and suddenly, during rush hour, it went down. I don't know if you ever think about it, crossing a bridge. I do sometimes, because that story is stuck in my head, and I think about it. Okay, we're getting ready to cross the Susquehanna River. I trust this thing is going to stay there. We won't go down. So far, we never did. But we do that without thinking, don't we? We trust those things. We're here this morning. You got in your car. If you had had any doubts that your car wasn't going to get you here, you probably wouldn't have brought your car. You brought another vehicle. You weren't afraid that it was going to leave you sit somewhere between home and here. You got in your car, turned on the ignition, and started up, and away you went. Trust. You got in your car, trusting it's going to get you there. And here we are. Trust. When we came in this morning, chairs were all set up for us. Did you have a second thought about, is that chair going to hold me up? I don't know. Maybe I should sit on this one. I don't think any of us thought about that, did we? I didn't look around in my chair, see if it's sound. I just sat down. Sure enough, it held me up. And here we are. Trust. But what I just described to you is something that's tangible. Children, what is tangible? That's a big word. Tangible is something you can see. Something you can touch. It's not something imaginary. Something that's tangible, you can see, you can touch. We talked about an airplane. We talked about a bridge. We talked about a chair. There's a tangible things that we trust in. Talk about coming in church to your car. Coming in your car to church. Things that are tangible. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs, the third chapter. These are familiar verses that I'd like to share with you today. But I believe that God has something for us in these very familiar verses. As I was seeking the Lord about what to share today, God seemed to lay these verses on my heart. And He confirmed it to me in different ways. Very simple verses that we're all familiar with, I'm sure. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. God is calling us here to trust in Him. We can't see God. Okay? He's not a tangible thing, if we want to say it that way. We were talking about trusting in things we could see. God is calling us to trust in Him whom we cannot see. And that takes faith. It takes faith. Faith depends on you and me making a conscious choice. Get that? It's a conscious choice to believe in Him and trust Him for the outcome. If we don't trust God and we lack confidence in Him, our faith is going to be proportionate to those things. If our trust in God is and we lack confidence in Him, your faith is going to be just in proportionate to that. Your faith isn't going to be much greater than your trust and confidence in God. That's just a simple fact. But if you don't trust God, and you lack confidence in Him and who He is, what are you trusting in? Who are you trusting in? We are trusting in someone or something. We're wired that way. We do. And that's the title of my message. Who or what are you trusting in? I would like to have a... Who here is 5 years old? We had some children up here in front this morning. Who here is five? All right. Okay. I need a helper to help me illustrate this point. So I have a volunteer, one of you that's 5 years old. You want to help me here with this illustration? Do I have someone that's 5 years old would like to help me? Okay, would you like to help me? Thank you. You can just stand right up front here. I want to ask you a couple questions. Did you have breakfast this morning? Did you? That's neat. And who fixed your breakfast for you?
My dad.
Your dad did. Wow, that's neat. Oh, I think that's really great. Yeah, you have really nice shoes there. Yeah, who bought your shoes for you?
My mom.
Your mom did. She makes nice choices. Yeah. And was your house nice and warm this morning? Was it? Yeah, ours was too. And who takes care of heating your house?
My dad.
Your dad does. That's really good. Did you ever hurt yourself? Did you ever stub your toe or hurt your finger or your arm or something? You had to cry? Maybe you fell down. Did you ever do that?
I I had a trampoline and I fell off it.
Uh-huh. What did you do when you cried and you hurt yourself? Did you go to your neighbor lady, or who did you go to when you hurt yourself?
My mom.
Your mom. She's really a good comforter, isn't she? Yeah. Thank you so much. Here. Thank you for helping me. You can go sit down. Yeah, I think you heard that. She had breakfast this morning. Was she concerned about who was going to get her breakfast for her? Did she get awake this morning and think, man, where am I going to get breakfast? Never entered her head, did it? Never entered her head. She's dressed warmly. Was she concerned about where her next pair of shoes is coming from? No. When she needs some tender love and care when she hurt herself, who was there for her? Her mom. Her parents. She didn't have to go looking somewhere else and trying to figure out, where am I going to go? You know, that kind of trust that a young child has in her parents is what God wants us to have in Him. That's my point. God wants us to have that same level of trust in Him. We're going to pick these verses apart this morning. It's going to be a bit of an expository message on these two verses, but I'd like to really make it practical for all of us. And I'll be the first one to raise my hand. I need this as much as anybody does, because I'm still learning to trust God. There are times when we face difficult things in life. Sometimes I face difficult things in life. I say, God, what am I going to do? Even at my age. But folks, there's a place we can go. That's my point. And I'd like to help us to see that today. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. What can we get out of that? Let's look at that more carefully. Notice the first verse we're talking about, the first four words, trust in the Lord. What is the action word here in those first four words? What is the action word?
Trust.
Thank you. Trust. That is lean on, rely on, have confidence in. If I were to lean against something for support, if I lean up against the side of this pulpit here, now it's supporting a portion of my weight. I trusted it would do that. But if it was pretty wobbly, I'd think twice about leaning on it. It might just go over and me with it. That's the idea. Trust. Lean on. Rely on. As an employer, you send an employee out to build a deck, to install windows, to put a roof on, to fix a generator, do whatever. Isn't it a blessing to be able to send that employee out with confidence, knowing he's going to go do the job, it's going to get done thoroughly and right, professionally, and the customer is going to be happy and satisfied? Isn't that a blessing? But if you send an employee out to service a generator and he goes and spends maybe 2 hours goofing off somewhere, or maybe he stayed up way late the night before watching a movie, and he didn't get any sleep hardly, and so he's sitting there in the parking lot sleeping for about 2 or 3 hours, and then finally goes ahead and gets started on his thing, doesn't get done with, and has to go back the next day. Are you kidding? Is that the kind of people you want working for you? No. We can't rely on folks like that. Trust. Trust. Lean on, rely on, have confidence in who? The Lord. Exactly right. Trust in the Lord. The next phrase, with all thine heart. Part of your heart? All your heart. With all your heart. That is, our feelings, our will, and even our intellect, our heart, soul, mind. That doesn't leave any room for doubt or lack of confidence, does it? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. leaves no room for doubt or lack of confidence. But folks, let's be honest with our own heart. Sometimes that's difficult. That's difficult. And sometimes we don't do good at that. Sometimes we just lack trust and confidence in God. Why? We're going to talk about that. The next part of this verse says, lean not. Don't support yourself. Lean not on what? On your own understanding, your own wisdom, your own frame of reference, your own thinking patterns. Don't depend on them. Don't lean on them. It's going to let you down. It's not God's way. Solomon, who wrote this, also said these words, and it fits right in. He said in chapter 16, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And that's a beautiful picture of leaning on your own understanding. It's death. Seriously. We need to listen to these words. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't support yourself. Don't lean on your own understanding of a matter, of your own wisdom, of your own frame of reference, your own thinking patterns. Those ways might seem right to you, but the end is death. It's wrong. Verse 6, in all thy ways, that's all of life, in everything, not just sometimes. Well, sometimes I trust the Lord, sometimes I don't. Perhaps that's more accurate of how we live than what we'd like to acknowledge. But in all of life, in all our ways, not just sometimes or just in critical moments in our life, but always, in everything, acknowledge Him. And I said, Lord, what does it really mean to acknowledge You? I want to know. How do I do that? How do we acknowledge God in all our ways all the time? How do we do that? That word acknowledge simply means to know. Or to make certain by seeing or to recognize. Did you ever see someone from a distance and you looked, just a brief look, and you thought, oh, that looks like whoever, so-and-so. And as you get closer, oh, sure enough, it is. That's the idea. To make certain by seeing. To recognize. Let me illustrate. There are things that God does for us every day. It's interesting, this morning I was sitting on my chair and I was just going over my notes and just thinking about this message, and as I was sitting there, I heard my wife say to our little granddaughter, oh, that's Pop Pop's, you go give it to him. And I thought, what does she have? And so here she had gotten into our bedroom, and I have on our nightstand a little Tupperware container of batteries that are no longer alive from my hearing aids. Instead of tossing them in the waste can, I just collect a whole bunch of them, and finally when I have a pile of them, then we dispose of them properly. But anyway, she had gotten this little container, and she was bringing it out. And so she gave it to me. I blessed her for it. And as she was walking away, I saw her turn around, and she took something out of her mouth and gave it to me. And I thought, oh no, you're kidding me. And sure enough, she had one in her mouth. And I said, thank you, Lord. I don't think she swallowed any. Hopefully not. She'd be battery-powered for the next 24 hours. But I was so grateful. I said, Lord, thank you. Now, I'm not tooting my horn, but I'm just saying, that's how we acknowledge God. Does that make sense? You see, that was something I had no control over. I didn't know she had one in her mouth. And she just took it out and gave it to me. Oh, thank you, Lord. How many of you have moments like that? It happens all the time. Little things like that God does for us. Folks, let's acknowledge God. Say, thank you, Lord. Bless you, God. That's what it means to, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Recognize that was a God thing. I could tell you a lot more. Commentator Matthew Henry says it this way about this. We must, and I quote, we must not only in our judgment believe that there is an overruling hand of God ordering and disposing of us and all our affairs, but get this, but we must solemnly own it and address ourselves to Him accordingly. I like that. It's more than just a head knowledge. Okay, so I know that God exists, and I know He watches over us, and okay, He orchestrates things in our lives, but it's another thing to own that. Does that make sense? It's another thing to acknowledge it. And we see those things, and we say, thank you, God. That's what He's talking about. Here's another one. Solomon wrote this one as well. The horse is prepared against the day of battle. This is found in Proverbs 21. But safety is of the Lord. I'll read that again. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. What does that mean? What does that tell us today? Well, let's think about that a little bit. Back in Bible times, when they went to war, they didn't have airplanes and tanks and jeeps and all those kind of things. They had horses. They had foot soldiers. It was hand-to-hand combat. But if you happened to be in an army where they had horses, you had an advantage. Horses were prepared, trained and prepared to fight with their riders on them in battle. And you could be prepared to the hilt. But ultimately, safety is of the Lord. Yeah. They could go into battle on horses and who knows what all else, but ultimately safety was of the Lord. I don't know how many of you think about it. When you travel out of state or whatever, please understand, I'm not trying to toot my horn at all. We just got into a habit, and I learned it from my folks, from my dad, and I'm just so grateful for it. Before we leave, oftentimes, we'll just spend a little time praying before we pull out of the driveway. Asking God for safety as we travel. Bless God, He's answered that prayer over and over and over again. That doesn't mean we've never had an accident, but God watched over us and He cared for us. I don't know if my family gets tired of it, but I know often in the evening we come home from work and we sit down at the dinner table to eat. I thank God for the privilege to be together again, there to enjoy a meal together. That's a blessing. I put miles on in a week's time, driving from hither and thither and yon between sales appointments. I've had some close calls. But what a blessing. Here we are together. Praise God. That's acknowledging God. That's what we're talking about. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Moms and dads at home, children are out playing, things happen, and wow, it could have been so much worse. Praise God. Praise God. As we do that, He will guide us along our journey. That's the blessing that follows. I'd like to take a little time to look at this passage of Scripture in its historical context. So what did this passage of Scripture that Solomon penned, what did that mean to the Israelites? What did that mean to them? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. Many of them knew full well the account of how God brought the children of Israel up out of Egypt. That was a miracle in itself. And as they came out of Egypt, they faced many obstacles. The first one, of course, was as they came to the Red Sea. Couldn't go any further. And then, to their horror, the Egyptian army came up behind them. Well, that was trouble. And I mean serious trouble. I've tried to place myself as a father in their shoes. What would you have done? Okay, so you came out of Egypt. You weren't gone but, what, a day or two? And you come to the Red Sea, and lo and behold, here's the Egyptian army behind you. That means death. And as a father who's responsible for the welfare, the protection of your family, your wife and children, man, that'd go through you, wouldn't it? What are you going to do? And they cried out, Moses, what are you doing? Here we are. What are we going to do? And they were worried. They were concerned. Moses said, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord. And salvation he brought them. Saved them. But they faced many obstacles. They crossed the desert. Can you imagine feeding and providing water every day? Just think of the volume of food and water it took in one day to feed over 1 million souls, never mind all the cattle. That's mind-boggling. God did it. Like nothing. He did it. They learned to trust God in really difficult situations. Some struggled to believe. Some struggled to trust Him. Others did trust Him. So they come to the land of Canaan, and 12 spies were sent out. And 10 come back with a sordid report. Yes, there's milk and honey, and the land is flowing with all these good things, but you should see those giants. Whoa, are we in trouble. But Joshua and Caleb stood up and said, wait a minute. God is for us. God is for us. And because the majority of the people distrusted God, that generation had to live in the wilderness for 40 years. Because they didn't trust God. That's quite a penalty for not trusting God. The Israelites had many examples of their ancestors who trusted in God and then those who didn't trust in God. And they could see the outcome. They could see that. Did they take it to heart? What do we see in the book of Judges? After they were there in the land of Canaan and enjoying so many rich blessings that God gave them, somehow they lost it. So many of them. What does that say to us today? What does that say to you? What does that say to me? I believe we need to very seriously take God's word to heart. Study it. Apply it to our lives. Live it out. Own it. Own it. And as believers, it's not enough to have a head knowledge. It's not. It won't cut it. It must be woven into the fabric of our everyday life. It must be. It must be lived out in the good days as well as the bad days. And by the way, if you didn't know there's bad days in life, welcome to life. You're going to get them. So who are you going to trust when things go south? What are you going to trust in when you're having a bad hair day and things just don't go right? I'd like to look for a moment here at some of the enemies of faith and trust in God. there's two enemies that I can think of that are probably the greatest enemies to faith and trust in God. The first one is fear. And the second is unbelief. There are some folks, and maybe you can identify with some of these. There are some folks that have felt, you know what, if I give my all to God, He's going to send me to Africa or some place in Timbuktu in mission work, and I flat don't want to go. I just, sorry. Their food there is just, they eat rats and who knows what all else. And temperatures are over 100 degrees, and it's pitiful. Some folks fear that. Seriously. Some do. Some folks feel that if I surrender all to God, He's going to ask me to give up, and you fill in the blank. Have you ever felt that way? You don't have to raise your hand. I think all of us have at some point in life. If I give everything to God, I'm going to have to give up, you name it. We're talking about trusting God or our own understanding. Some folks have said, if I give everything to God, He's going to ask me to move away from my family and my friends. Sorry, I just can't do that. God, that's just too much. I have a question for you. Did you ever meet someone who followed God wholeheartedly and was just totally disappointed? Things just didn't work out. Life was just miserable. They hated it to the core. Have you ever seen anybody like that? I have yet to meet one. I know I haven't met everybody. It's just not how it goes. Some folks feel like if they follow God wholeheartedly, life is going to be boring. There's no fun. Sorry. That's fear. Fear of the unknown. Sometimes folks, and sometimes I think some of us, probably all of us, have had an element of fear at some time in our life. Fear of the unknown. Scared of where God might take you or what He might ask you to do. Yeah, I know I should follow God. What is He going to ask me to do? Where am I going to wind up? What's going to happen to me? Fear. Greatest enemies of faith and trust in God. Another one is unbelief. It's another enemy of faith and trust in God. And some of these are based on a misconception of who God is. But nevertheless, it's how people see things at times. Some folks say, I can never please God. Never please Him. He doesn't need me constantly asking Him for help. I'll wind up in hell anyway. And so they go on. One sordid day after the next. Life is miserable. Unbelief. Not believing God is who He says He is. Here's another one. We're talking about enemies of faith and trust in God. God doesn't answer my prayers. So why should I trust Him? Does He even care? Maybe you felt that way. Maybe there were things in your life that you just prayed and prayed about. And it just seemed like heaven was totally silent. You didn't get an answer. And you wondered, does God even care about my problem? And I tell you, folks, there are many people that struggle with those feelings. People of God. Those are real things. Sometimes folks pray for healing from sickness or disease. And God chooses to heal them through death. Sometimes we pray for a broken relationship, for restoration in that relationship. And it just seems like nothing changes. In fact, it might even get worse. And you wonder, God, what? Aren't you hearing? No answers. Many prayers go up for wayward sons or daughters, or the list can go on. These things are real, and I think many of you here can identify with some of those things. You feel that. You've been there. Those are enemies of faith and trust in God, fear and unbelief. We're going to talk about this a little bit later on, but there is one thing I want you to know. There was a time in Jesus' life when he prayed a prayer and he didn't get what he prayed for. Did you hear that? There was a time in Jesus' life that he prayed a prayer and he didn't get what he prayed for. I'll share that with you in a moment. How do we apply this text to our lives today? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. How do we apply that to us today? We're not faced here in America with war on our own soil. I don't know what it would be like to live in Syria, in some of those war-torn countries. It must be miserable. Displaced. What was that, Mike, this morning? I think you said 68 million, was it? Displaced? That's an incredible number. I just can't imagine that. We don't know what war is on our own soil. None of us in this room have experienced that here on American soil. What if you were diagnosed with a terminal illness next week? How would you respond to that? It happens every day. Every day. Would you be able to trust God? Now, I want you to understand something, folks. I'm not trying to minimize the seriousness of some of these situations. Because I realize that having a terminal illness is serious. It's nothing to poke fun about. What would I do? What would you do? But there are some examples in the Word of God for us to consider and ponder. I want to direct our minds to that. Job said, when he was struck with boils, and he was as miserable a person as could be, he said, get this, the Lord giveth and hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, where was his trust? Certainly not in his riches. And believe me, he was one of the wealthiest men of the East. He sat there and blessed God. His trust was in God. David, after being pursued by Saul, living with his men in Ziklag, and came back from a 3-day excursion with the Philistines, only to find their wives and children gone, and the city burned, and his men were about to stone him. I'll tell you, he smelled death. It was right behind him. What did he do? Did he lean on his own understanding? What did he do? Bible tells us he got along with God. He did. He encouraged his heart in the Lord, the Bible tells us. It saw him through. What would you do? How do we apply trusting in God in our lives today? week before last, there was a young lady who was 18 years of age who took her life. Her father died when she was 6 years old. And she struggled to cope with his death ever since that. She was depressed so much. And finally, 2 weeks ago, at the age of 18, she took her life and ended it all. That's not the answer, folks. And I'm not being critical. I'm just saying there's another way. There's help. Honestly, there is. As we walk through these things in life, there's help. There is. We don't have to take our life. We don't have to be depressed. There are answers. How do we trust in God? How do we do that today? Well, I've met folks who keep a handgun in their bedroom. They're not taking chances if someone breaks into their home at night. They want to be prepared. Oh, I'd never kill a man. Oh, no, never do that. I'd just injure him, but I'd never kill him. Well, I ask you, who is your trust in? I talked to a man some time ago, a professing Christian man, and he was talking about the shooting that occurred at a school. I'm not sure if it was in North Carolina. I think it was. I don't know, a year or so ago. And we talked about that. He said, you know, if somebody would have been close by and would have really loved the students in the school and could have done it, if they would have taken that guy out before he could have done any damage to him, and taken children's lives, well, that would have really been loving those people in the school. That's the way to show love. As Christian people, we can do those kind of things. We need to think that way. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me. I mean, if that's love, why didn't Jesus take out all kinds of people too? Really? So, who do we trust? Who are you trusting in? Who or what are you trusting in? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And I want to make it clear that to trust in the Lord means that we must make a conscious choice to do that. We have to make a conscious choice to do that and not rely on our own reasoning or other coping mechanisms. What do I mean? As I travel various places in my sales work, there are sometimes, and I'm so grateful for my GPS, there are sometimes I come to a fork in the road, and if it wouldn't be for my GPS, I'd stare at that thing and wonder which way is the right one, the left or the right. And if you can picture in your mind's eye a fork in the road, which one is the right one? Envision yourself on your journey in life. And you meet a difficult situation. What do you do? What do you trust in? Whom do you trust in? Do you rely on your own reasoning, on your own frame of reference, on your own usual thought patterns? Or do you want to place your trust in God? Sometimes we're so used to taking the road and the fork in the road that was just, it's a well-beaten path. We've been used to just going that way when we hit a problem in life. Maybe we need to learn to take the other way and trust God. You see, sometimes when we experience pain in life, anger will flare up. I remember recently a man telling me about where he worked. They needed to terminate someone's employment. And this man that was being terminated was in his 50s. And when he found out that his employment was being terminated, he blew up. In a fit of rage and anger, screaming and yelling, and yeah, he could hear him a long way off. You know, many times, folks like that are acting the way they did when they were 4 and 5 years old and were never trained and never learned how to deal with things in life. Now, some people, when they experience pain, that's just how they resort to. That's just what they resort to. They just go back to that. That's how they've always done. Blow up. And wind up hurting those closest to them. Some people, when they experience pain, they go shopping. Just get their mind off of their pain. Go shopping. Makes them feel good. Just, it's a distraction. It's a coping mechanism. That's what it is. Others will turn the music on. Earbuds in, headphones, whatever. And play their music and drown out all the pain. Try to deal with it. Some folks will watch a movie to distract them from their pain. How much better to trust in God. Some people turn to pornography to cope with their pain and deal with life's problems. But do coping mechanisms bring freedom? No. No, not at all. In fact, coping mechanisms create other problems. That's exactly what happens. So what is the answer? What is the answer to these things we've been talking about? How do we deal with them? What do we do? Who do we trust in? What do we trust in? And I'd just like to share with you an answer that I believe is God's heart in many of life's problems. And I would say if we're looking for a pat answer, it's pretty difficult to do that. Because there are a lot of different situations. Life is complicated. But it's what I've been talking about. And I simply submit it to you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on, don't support yourself with your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him, God, and He will direct your path. That's a promise. Now, I want to qualify that. That's a guiding principle. Okay? It's a guiding principle. But it has to be walked out in our life. Okay? And so, when we walk out trusting in the Lord with all our heart, that's not always easy. And I recognize that some folks simply need assistance to get to that place where you can trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's not always a simple step. Sometimes it's a process. I understand that. You may need someone to guide you and help you find that freedom. But I tell you, there is freedom. Yes, there is. And I believe some of the biggest steps in finding that freedom are making a conscious choice to trust God instead of whatever else you've been used to doing. That's a huge step. But it's a huge step in the right direction. You have to make a conscious choice to trust God. Here are some comforting thoughts that I thought about in this as we were talking about trusting God. And as I use the word God here, meaning our Heavenly Father, remember that God and Jesus are synonymous. Maybe I should just use the word Jesus here. Trusting Jesus. Trusting the Lord. He knows. Jesus knows all about the troubles and the struggles in your heart. He does. He knows all about it. Not only does he know about it, he understands and he can identify with us in our pain. Now, I don't know what that does for you, but to me, that's powerful. To know that Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior, experienced many of the things that I face, in fact, all of the things that any one of us face, Jesus can identify with. He's been there, done that. I tell you, that's comforting. He's got experience. He can relate to that. It's not like bringing a problem or a trouble to Brother Steve or someone and, well, I just can't identify. I don't know what that's like. He's not much help. No. But bless God, Jesus has been there, done that. He's experienced all the things that you have ever faced. And then some. Jesus experienced the heartache of a close friend's death. He did. He wept. The Bible says that when he came to the tomb where Lazarus was, and they were close friends, Jesus spent a lot of time in their home. And one day Lazarus died. And you know what? Jesus wept. Why? I believe there's a number of reasons why. But he was human. He wasn't just God. He was human. He was man. He can identify with us in the loss of our close friend, a loved one. He knows that pain. He's been there. He's experienced it. He knows all about it. He experienced rejection firsthand from friends and family, even his own siblings. The Bible tells us that. He experienced rejection, not just from them, but many people in his life that he associated with. He was rejected. The prophet Isaiah says that. He was despised and rejected of man. His own creation rejected him. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Is that how your life is? Are you a man, a woman of sorrow, acquainted with grief? It follows you everywhere you go. Can that be said of you? I doubt it. But it was of Jesus. He knew those things. He understands those things. He's been there, folks. He's done that. He was falsely accused of many things, openly. Has that ever happened to you? He was openly scorned and mocked. One of his own disciples betrayed him. And then, as he was agonizing in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed a prayer, and he didn't get what he asked for. I want you to get that. Jesus was agonizing in prayer in the garden. The Bible says he prayed thus, "Father, let this cup pass from me." What was he saying? What was he saying when he said that? If we were to translate that into the way we say things today, I think we could rightfully say Jesus was saying, "God, isn't there some other way that we can do this? Let's not get rid of the plan, but God, isn't there some other way?" I'm telling you, Jesus didn't want to die. Do you understand that? He was asking the Father, "Lord, God, Father, let this cup pass from me." He didn't want to die. He was human. That was a painful death he was about to face. And it wasn't anything like a fast death. It was a slow, cruel, agonizing death. And he was facing that. "Father, isn't there some other way we can do this?" But what did he do? "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine." Even in the face of that horrible death, as he looked into that cup, he submitted himself in trust to his Father. He owned it. He owned it. And from that point forward, he went with his face forward to the cross, assured of his Father's will. I say, Jesus can identify with us. He knows. He cares. My encouragement is to let us follow Jesus' example of trust in his Father. You see, all the while that he was being scorned, mocked, ridiculed, and he faced rejection, false accusations, and on and on and on, he placed his trust in God, his Father, and followed him. Let us follow his example and choose, there's that word again, make a conscious choice to follow and trust God through thick and thin, come what may. Refuse to lean on our own understanding. Don't do it. On our own reasoning, on our own thought patterns, and our own coping mechanisms. That's the way of death. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your word and how you minister to our hearts. God, we thank you that you are a God of comfort, you are a God of grace, you are a God of mercy. And you are there for us. And there's times, Father, we acknowledge, we confess. There are times when we find it very difficult to trust in you. And we confess it because many times of fear in our lives or unbelief. Lord, we just don't want to do that. We want to trust you and have the faith and confidence in you that you want us to. There are so many examples you've given us in your word. From those of your children, those of your people, Lord, who have been faithful to you and who trusted you. And it went well for them. Lord, I pray that we might learn as well to trust you as you would have us to. To walk in faith, in believing you, and trusting you for the outcome, even though we can't see it. We remember how Abraham followed you. You called him to live in a different land. You didn't even tell him where to go. Just, you go to the land that I'll show you. And it was so contrary to the culture of their day. He just packed up and left and followed you, trusting you for the outcome. And no, it wasn't all peaches and cream following you the whole way there. He followed stinky cattle, batted flies on his way there, and then met Canaanites when he got there, and all those things. But he trusted you. And Lord, I pray that we would have faith in our hearts to trust you in the same way. We think of Joseph, who was sold into Egypt by his cruel brothers. And Joseph could have really got angry at you. And, you know, God, what in the world are you doing? Here I am. And could have gone on and on and on. But instead, he chose to trust you for the outcome. And you had a purpose and a plan in that whole thing. And it wasn't till later on that Joseph saw it and understood. And Lord, as we face difficult situations in life, we may never understand in this life why we face them. But we know one thing, that we can trust you for the outcome. You have our good in mind. And God, I pray, help us. Grant us grace, Lord. All of us in this room, because life is real to us. There's pain. There's struggles. And we acknowledge it's hard to trust you at times. But God, would you just grant us the grace to walk faithfully with you and serve you faithfully till Jesus comes, in whose name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Roy, for that admonition, encouragement to trust in the Lord, our God. I'd like to hear from you all. Maybe you have something recently or even in your past, something that comes to your mind as far as the areas of trust. But I was looking at thinking of that song, When All Around My Soul Gives Way, He then is all my hope and stay. You know, when what we're leaning on crumbles, what we, you know, even our common sense or what we think, our reasoning, you know, if what we thought was going to work out doesn't work out, and all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. Another thought that came to me is, I believe it's in a song, sometimes He calms the storm, but sometimes He calms me. You know, He doesn't always, like we heard there, He doesn't always answer the prayers of our heart. You know, we're faced with something that maybe we'd rather not go through. He doesn't just always take that away, like we saw in Christ's example. Sometimes He does calm that storm, but sometimes He calms me, you know, to face the storm. So sometimes He calms the storm, sometimes He calms me. And I was challenged with the thought of the coping mechanism. What is my coping mechanism? What's yours? You know, we say, well, you know, when I face difficulty or something unexpected, something fearful, ideally we say, well, I'm going to go to the Word of God and prayer, and, you know, I'm going to press through and find the Lord in this thing and find courage to go through. But what do you resort to in painful situations? In disappointments. Disappointment hits. You know, your hopes are dashed. What do you resort to? Like we heard that one man. You know, he resorted to just rage. And he couldn't deal with that disappointment. Dashed hopes. What do you resort to? So maybe you have some things to share. Somehow you were encouraged today. Yes, there's two back here. Sister Joanne there.
I was just so excited to hear Roy's message today. It's just something God's been speaking to me so much recently, and my testimony is just that In the last 3 months, God's been doing a really, really deep work in my life. And as I've realized the amount of fear, at least to a degree, the amount of fear that I've had, I've gone to God and said, I want to trust you, but will you reveal to me your love? And he has done that over and over and over in so many ways. And my faith has been grown, and I've come to find that in that place of trust, the joy comes. I've never understood in my whole Christian life what does it mean to rejoice in tribulation? And I've asked God that so many times. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. And why don't I see more believers with joy? Mm-hmm. I want to see this in my life. What does it mean? And for the first time ever, in the last few months, I've come to a place where even when hard things come, I literally get so happy to see how God's using them for good. And even when I don't see them, just to be able to trust, because he's shown me how much he loves me. And it's absolutely the most free, joyful place to be. Amen. And it takes away all that, like, I need to trust him. It starts to come naturally. And he renews our mind, I think, as we walk in obedience. And the longer we walk in those things, the more naturally it comes. And so I just wanted to say, if there's someone here today who's having a hard time trusting, and you keep thinking, I should trust, I want to trust, but you know, there's some things maybe we can't ask God to do things that we need to do ourselves. Mm-hmm. And yet, I think we can ask him to reveal his love to us, and he's happy to do that. Amen. And I've found out that every single prayer that I pray, he does answer. And sometimes he says no, but there's a lot of prayers that we as believers can pray that we already know are according to his will. For example, when I ask him for wisdom in a situation, I already know he wants to give me wisdom as his child. And every single time, he comes through and he says yes. And it's grown my faith so much. But yeah, I just wanted to thank you so much, Roy, for sharing. This message has been so encouraging to me.
Praise God. Nate, woman there.
Yeah, there's a verse in the Bible that says, if you get disappointment, or I can't quote it, but it says, lay still on your bed. You probably know what I'm talking about. I can't quite quote the verse, but when you get angry, maybe, it says, lay still in your bed and think about it. And that's a verse I've thought about a lot when I want to get angry or disappointment. You know, just instead of getting in a rage or something, and just, you know, think about, just keep calm and pray about it. And for sure, I found out that's the best way to deal with life and deal with disappointments, and mm-hmm. instead of throw a fit, or, yeah, just take it to God in prayer.
Amen. Amen. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Needless pain we carry. We don't need to do that. He hears our prayers. Anyone else? Brother Steve.
Yeah, Roy said, you know, that there will be bad days in life. And he says, welcome to life, something like that. And it made me think of, you know, the birth of a baby. And we were all born. And, you know, it can be pretty traumatizing on a baby, you know, and it's not an easy thing for the baby and that. But how many of us, we've all been born, how many of us remember the bad things that happened back then, you know, how many ever years ago? I mean, and God has a way in all the things of life. God has a way of being able to heal and help in the bad things in our lives and the bad times that we face. God has a way of just it's not just only time, but it's you know, his way of caring for us, loving us, and helping us, and mm-hmm. and helping us to move on and all of that. So just praise God and thank the Lord for the message today.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And how much better, you know, looking to look back and say, I trusted the Lord in that, even though I didn't know what's going to be coming out of it, like Joe was saying there. You know, how much better to look back and be able to say that than, you know, regret, you know, it's just not dealing with it well. And, yeah, it's a real thing, dealing with disappointments, change of plans, hopes dashed. May God help us to trust Him, trust in the Lord with all our heart. Anyone else? Brother CJ, I understand you're leaving on Wednesday. Is that right? I was going to pray for you this morning too. We can do that at the end here.
Thank you so much for everything. I bless God's name for the way He makes the church, the way He works through the church. God uses members to clean other members. I mean, God could use the hands to clean the feet, to comfort other members. Thank you for the way you let God use you when you worship the songs and the messages. I really need that. I need your encouragement. Thank you for the way you let God use you. I need the message today. I need the message. All the messages I heard, I need them. And God knows what we need.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what we need. And I would like to encourage all of you to take seriously what God says to us, tell us. It's very important for lives. So, I am at the end of my time here for this time. I will leave Wednesday. I can tell you honestly with all my heart, I will miss you every day. But something I ask God to help me to remember to pray for you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
To pray for your children, your families, and for the leaders, you know. We know how the battle is everywhere for God's people. And thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you so much. I don't have time to mention all things you do for us. But I can say in one word, you are a blessing for a life, for a country too. So now I need to get back to people in Haiti. I received from some messages from people in Haiti in the school. I need to get back to them to help them in the school. And secondly, I need to find people who started a savings program to we help them too, because it is a way to find. It is a way God makes to find some uncovered people. Mm-hmm. We talk to them about God. Some of them come to God. Some of them make serious decision to follow God. So we need your prayer. And the third one, I would say, we have a plan to think about building a clinic in the mountains. because people need it. People need to walk from the mountains to the city to find a clinic, a hospital. They should walk about 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. It depends how fast people could walk. So, we need your prayer. I will leave, but my wife will stay longer, because at the end of this month, I will go to Virginia again to a wedding. My wife has a niece. She will get married. So I'm invited to come. You know, I feel in my heart like I cannot be able to see you the end of this month. But don't forget, you are in my heart. And we love you. We appreciate you. We appreciate your message, your time, your friendship, your hospitality. Thank you. God bless you.
Amen. You're very welcome, CJ. Give all praise to the Lord. We're glad that we can be involved in this way. It's been a blessing to have you with us. It has. It really has. Thanks for sharing with us as well. God bless you as you go back and give you strength and keep you strong as a Christian in the face of the evil there. Yeah. Amen.